Thank you for taking the time to watch this message. My name is Ronnie Rothy. I'm the lead pastor at Relevant Community Church. At Relevant, our goal is to make faith practical in order to help you be more transformed into everything God's created you to be. It's our hope that something from this message inspires and empowers you to take a next step to follow Jesus. Thanks again for joining us, and I hope you enjoy this message. Everywhere you look, everywhere there's a hope.
Boweth thy heads, foldeth thy hands, as we commune with the Almighty Lord of Hosts in holy, sanctimonious supplication and edification. Is anybody doing it? Yes! I got some teenagers. That's perfect. Yeah, you know we're not doing it. You know that's not how we roll around here. If you're here for the first time and I just tricked you into doing something really weird, really sorry about that. Forgive me. Give me a second chance. But maybe you saw yourself in one of those prayer clips up there. Maybe you multitask when you pray. That's okay. It's great. Maybe you pump iron when you pray. No sweat. It's good. Or maybe you're like Jimmy. You, Pastor Jimmy, you saw up there. You sleep when you pray. Or you put people to sleep when you pray. Sort of like how he preaches up here, am I right? Oh, Jimmy, I told you, bro. When you made your old age crack a couple weeks ago, I was like, dude, I have the last word in this series. So don't mess with me. Love you. Well, we hope that's been one of the big messages in this pray series, that however you pray, just do it. Just pray. Because it's an amazing thing when you think about it that the God of the universe, think about this, God has invited us to connect with him and talk with him. Isn't that incredible? He says, because of what Jesus has done for you, you can approach my throne with confidence, God says, and find grace and mercy every time you need it. That's incredible news. So talk with him, however, whenever, wherever you do it. Just talk with him to build your relationship with him, just like you talk to your spouse or your best friend. And as we've talked about the last 3 weeks, the goal of our prayer is not that it becomes some spiritual discipline that we need to master. You know, it's not a religious act that we need to have on some list and beat ourselves up for not being better at it. You know, whatever that means. I hear people say, man, I wish I was just better at praying. What does that even mean? You know, like you do it more, I'm not sure. But the more we look at prayer like it's a discipline to master or a religious duty on a long list of to-dos to check off, the more we're bored with it. The more there's no life in it. The more it's even sort of stressful. You're like, I'm supposed to pray more. I should do this. No, prayer is one of the best ways to connect and go deeper and get to know our God who has invited us into a relationship with him. It's a relational booster. And we have the opportunity every day, all day, to walk up to the throne of our Father God, see him come down, connect with us, love us, draw us close. We have that opportunity every day, all day. It's incredible. Instead of a boring ritual or a lifeless religious obligation, prayer can actually be enjoyable and life-giving. And that's what we hope has been coming through here the last 3 weeks. We have some resources, too, to provide along with this series to help you become all those things we have talked about, being a more impactful prayer, a more effective prayer, more a prayer who's enjoying it. We have a 3-week class on prayer starting next week, and you can still sign up till Wednesday. Just hit the code there, scan the code, and get in. Our team has also created these bookmarks for you to use during your times of prayer, during your times of reading your Bible, whatever. Stick it somewhere that reminds you of these elements of prayer that we've been talking about in this series. You can grab one of these at the Next Steps area on your way out. But we've been learning about prayer from Jesus himself during this message series when his closest followers asked him, Jesus, can you teach us how to pray like you pray? Because we see you go away for a couple of hours and pray. I mean, what do you do all that time? You know, these guys had grown up, all they knew was sort of religious prayers that they recite. And they go, we've never seen anything like that. Like, Jesus, you pray with such power and authority. You know, when you pray, people's lives are changed. Show us how to pray like that. Teach us. And so Jesus said this to them. He said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, Jesus' intent with what's been called the model prayer was not for us to recite it word for word a few times a day and call it good. You know, I don't know if he ever envisioned it being like said in locker rooms as fast as you can. You know, has anybody ever done that? Just said it, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, let's go play. Yeah, I'm not sure that's what he had in mind. But there, Jesus was giving his followers, was giving us some framework with some elements in it that can make our conversation with God sweeter and deeper and more meaningful and more impactful. Jesus said, when you pray, you can and should praise God. Praise God just for who he is, the amazing, magnificent, matchless, incredible, limitless, loving, good, good Father that he is. Spend some time praising him. There's going to be some life in that. Jesus said, when we talk with God, we can and should repent. Talk with God about the ways you've wandered away from him or disobeyed him, done things or said things to hurt your relationship with him or done things to hurt somebody else. And not only just tell God you're sorry, but say, God, I want to do an about face. Help me turn from that way and go another way. And Jesus said, when you talk with God, we can and should ask. John talked about that last week. Ask for whatever you want. Ask on behalf of your stuff. Ask on behalf of other people's stuff. Just ask and keep on asking, Jesus told us. Today we're going to look at the fourth element Jesus put in. When you talk with God, you can and should yield your will, your desires, your wants to God's. That's the part of the prayer when Jesus says, your kingdom come. Your will be done. He's talking to God. He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What a powerful declaration to God. God, in my life, in my situation, I want your kingdom to reign supreme, not mine. Your will be done. I want what you want, and I want your will to be done just like it's done in heaven. What a powerful thing to proclaim to God. So to learn more about that this morning, we're going to take a look at a much lesser known model prayer of Jesus that shows us and teaches us some amazing things about the why in our P-R-A-Y model. When it comes to that why, yield, that sounds not very fun, doesn't it? It sounds sort of painful, like I have to put on the brakes, I have to maybe course correct, I have to wait and do what God wants done, not I can't just take this on my own and run with it. Sounds a little painful. Doesn't sound that fun. And there's a lot of times that I don't want to do that. There's times we don't want to do that. But guess what? Jesus was there too. He didn't either. And there's some great things we can learn from this other model prayer on how to yield our wants, our desires to what God wants. I got some ideas from this message from an author, pastor named John Mark Comer. So credit to him for a few of the things you're going to hear. But we want to look at one of Jesus' final prayers the night before he died on the cross. So the night before he's going to the cross. So let's set the scene for this powerful prayer model. Jesus had just celebrated his last meal with his closest followers. And he said, every time you do this, remember what I'm going to do for you and all of mankind tomorrow. And then he washed their feet like a servant. They're like, Jesus, you shouldn't be washing our feet. And he's like, oh, wait till you see what I'm going to do for you tomorrow. This is nothing. The weight of what's coming is starting to set in for Jesus. Jesus is starting to grasp the reality of what is about to happen in just a few hours, and we get a glimpse into it. Check this out from Matthew, one of Jesus' closest friends who was there this night. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, it's an olive grove, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled, starting to set in the weight of what's coming. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. I'm so sad. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping, like Jimmy. No, just kidding. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you won't fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Come on, help me out, guys. I am so overwhelmed. I'm so sad. Can you please just watch with me for an hour? He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. "God, I'm so overwhelmed. I don't want to do this. Is there another way we can get this done?" Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let's go. Here comes my betrayer." You can feel the emotion of this moment for Jesus. This is so intense. Jesus is facing the most gut-wrenching challenge of his life, and we catch him tackling it by talking with God. Very raw, very uncut, very emotional. And in that moment, we see Jesus give God his feelings, his desires, and ultimately his trust by yielding his will to God's. First, we see and hear Jesus give God his feelings. He tells his friend Peter, "I'm so sad. I'm so overwhelmed." And this word that he used for overwhelm was like, my cup is overflowing with emotion. I can't take any more. I'm so overwhelmed. I'm so sad. He tells God how he feels, no editing. Which, you know, when you think about it, that sounds like the beginning, really the beginning of prayer. He gives God his feelings. He just pours it all out. You may have found prayer to be boring and lifeless and, again, just like, duty I got to check off. But that's because maybe we're not really praying. We're not authentically praying. So many times we talk to God, not with him, and so many times we edit our prayers. You know, we hold back the stuff we actually feel because it doesn't fit our view of how a Christian is supposed to work. We hold back. We don't give God everything we have. Well, if you've ever read the Psalms in the Old Testament, I love Psalms. It's 150 songs, just things that are written to God. And it's a beautiful template for how to pray. I love it because the writers are more honest with God than we tend to be. You know, in their prayers, you hear revenge, hate, fury at God, disappointment with God, being demanding of God. They'll tell God, "I need you to do this now." It's so raw. All those feelings are there. It's like pastor and author John Ortberg says, prayer isn't a place to be good. It's a place to be honest. It's not a place to be good. Like we try to sort of dress it up, make it good when we go to God and say some flowery words like he doesn't know what's going on. Jesus is not as scared of honesty with God as we are. You know, we hide how we feel, really feel from God a lot of times. But prayer, talking with God, can be a safe place to bring all that we are before all that God is. No edit button, just let it rip with the God who loves you and knows what it's like to feel everything you're feeling. He's been there. In fact, the writers of Scripture tell us that Jesus, God in human form, came to the earth, was tempted in every way we are. He felt everything we feel, probably even more intensely than we feel it. You know, the men who were there that night that were recording this scene with Jesus said that it was so intense, he was praying so intensely this night, that his sweat was like drops of blood. Man, this is intense. I don't know about you, I've never prayed that hard, that I was sweating like drops of blood. Pour out your heart to God. Give him all your feelings. He can take it. He wants it. So Jesus gave God his feelings, and then he gave God his desires. Notice what he says. God, if it's possible, may this cup pass from me. May it be taken from me. This cup, he's talking about the sham trials that he's about to face, the beatings he's about to face, beaten until he was unrecognizable, mocking, and his literal death on the cross that's to come in just a few hours. Let the gravity of Jesus' prayer sink in. Jesus is telling his Father, I don't want to go to the cross. Is there another way we can do this? This is the most climactic, dramatic moment of his life, and he's pleading, God, please find another way. As one person I heard said, I don't think I have it in me to do this, Dad. That's what Jesus is saying to his Father. Jesus is teaching us by very vivid example here to bring God all of our desires, not just the good ones. We have this mixed bag of desires, some good ones, some awful ones, and we edit and filter those out too, right? We don't give God our real feelings. We go, I can't really tell God that. We certainly don't give him our desires when they're bad ones. I can't give him that as if he doesn't know. So we just don't bring it up. So our conversation with God is boring and lifeless and a check off of a to-do list. But there was no filter for Jesus. He just said it straight up. God, Father, if there's another way we can do this, please find another way. I don't want to do this. This could revolutionize the way we pray. When that guy or girl walks by, we're tempted to take a second look or a longer look. When we're having a hard time being open-handed and generous with what God's given us, having a hard time being open-handed. What if rather than just feeling bad for having these desires, what if we just told God straight up, God, I want to go to that site that I know I shouldn't go to. I know it's not good for me. God, I want another Kit Kat out of the jar. I see it over there. I want it. This is mine right now, my personal. You know, one of the things, my wife gets this jar full of Kit Kats. It's just always sitting right there. God, I want one, but I know I shouldn't. I'm going to hate myself later. God, I don't want to give up what you're asking me to give up. That's my desire. I really want to buy that thing I don't need. I want to do this. Well, what if instead of berating ourselves, we just told God, I know this is a stupid, maybe even sinful desire, but I want it. Take it to God. Let him filter it out. Let him sort it out. Let him weigh in and work on taking it away. Find the power in that. That could take us to a place where Jesus was with his heavenly Father. He gave God his feelings. I'm so sad. I'm about to die. He gave God his desires. God, if there's another way, please come up with a different way. But ultimately, he gave God his trust. He yielded his will to God's will. The why of our P-R-A-Y model. Yield. Look at it. Jesus says and affirms for us and models for us, not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but yours. In this darkest situation of my life, your will be done on earth just like it's done in heaven. Not what do I want, but God, what do you want? If we're going to yield our will to God in those moments when we desire something else, sometimes intensely desire something else, that's the open-hearted, open-minded question we need to take to God. Not what do I want, but God, what do you want? What do you want? And here's the posture of a yield prayer like that. All of us are carrying around feelings. Oh, you didn't know preaching was such hard work, did you? 101, 102. No, just kidding. All of us are carrying around these feelings. Anger. God, I'm so mad. I'm so sad. I'm so frustrated. I'm so worried. I'm so anxious. Give it to him. God, I have these desires. Here's what I want in this. I'm so worried, and here's what I want. But ultimately, give God your trust. God, not what I want, what do you want? And lay it down. Not what do I want, what do you want? Your will be done. I'm laying it down. That's the posture. Laying it down at Jesus' feet, giving it to God. The good, the bad, the ugly, the feelings, the desires, ultimately our trust. God, what do you want? Let's not pretend this is easy. There may be nothing harder that we have to do when we talk with God. We see Jesus, his sweat drops like blood. He was straining over this. His feelings, his desires, but yielding his will to God's. It was hard, and it is hard. And the more difficult our situation, the deeper the pain, the more intense the desire, more difficult it is to honestly say and mean it, not my will, but your will be done. It's hard. Not what do I want, but God, what do you want? We may have to listen and lay it down and watch and wait for God to answer, for his will to be done. And sometimes we wait and we wait some more. And we face the temptation to go, I got to pick this back up, God. You're not coming through as fast as I want. You're not coming through like I want. I'm going to pick this back up. It's a temptation. Jesus had it too. When the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, they were all brandishing weapons. They came up. Jesus was unarmed. When they came up, Peter, one of Jesus' best friends, whipped out his pocket knife, cut off the ear of one of the soldiers. Like, yes, this is great. It's a great movie. It's a great movie scene. Jesus picked up the ear, put it back on, and said, hey, Peter, you don't need to do that. We don't need to pick this back up and take matters into our own hands. If I wanted to, Jesus said, I could call down tens of thousands of angels right now, and this would all be over. I could end it right now if I wanted to. I have the power and authority to do it. We're not going to do that. We're not going to pick it back up. We're going to leave it. When he was going through trials and was beaten and hanging on the cross, at any moment along that excruciating journey, and I'm sure he was tempted many times, Jesus could have picked it back up, called on the angels and said, this is it. I'm not going to let this go. I can't do it. But he didn't. We'll be faced with the same urge to pick it up. This is not easy, but that's where God wants us to get. You know, we're Jesus, God, in his darkest hour. I'm laying it down and I'm leaving it there. If I give in and pick it back up and try to take matters into my own hands or make something happen or carry the weight of it again, I'm going to have to go back again and say, God, not my will, but your will be done. What do you want? Not what do I want? A few years ago, I was in a terrible work situation. I was in a small company, about 15 people, and one of the 15, you could see the whole company in one room. It was one, you know, that kind of deal. One of the guys at this company literally hated me. I mean, he did, and I'm a likable guy. Nobody's ever hated me before. I didn't get it. We had a conflict over something. He just couldn't move past it. But, I mean, he literally hated me. We officed right next to each other, so it was super awkward. Every morning I would come in, I'd go, we'll call him Mark to protect the guilty. I go, hey, Mark, good morning. No response from Mark. I mean, this is so awkward, so weird. He hated me. He brought his kids into the office one day. Remember, this is a small company. You can see everybody in one spot. Brought his kids in to introduce them to people at the office. Took them one by one, introduced them to everybody, skipped my office, kept going. This guy hated me. It was terrible. So I was praying to, you know, God about this, was telling him, I told God, I'm miserable, this is awful, you know how I feel about this. This is awful every day to have to go through this. Here's what I want, God. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to start looking for other jobs. I'm out of here. Is that cool with you? You know, I didn't really say, not what I want, what do you want, God? I was sort of like, here's my plan, here's what I'm going to do. Is that cool? And praying through this, I distinctly heard God's voice in my head. I believe it was God tell me, no. No, it's not cool. I don't want you to leave. And I'm like, oh, but that's the worst answer. Maybe I heard that wrong. Bad pizza last night. Try that again. Hey, God, you know how I feel about this. This is terrible. I want out of here. I'm going to get on LinkedIn today and start looking. Is that cool with you? Say it a little louder. Maybe you didn't hear me right. Every time I prayed about it, It's like, no, it's not cool. I don't want you to pursue that. I want you to stay. And I'm like, man, that's awful. But I've been walking with God long enough, been living life with Him long enough to know that resisting His will, fighting against it, what He wants, ignoring what He wants is not my best course of action. So I eventually said, okay, God, not what I want. What do you want? And about that time, I ran into some verses that some of you guys are familiar with. The writers of Scripture call it the fruit of the Spirit. And it's these things that God wants to pour into our life, like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And I distinctly heard God say, this is what I want you to take to that place every day. This is what I want you to take to Mark every day. This is what I want you to take to the rest of the people in that office every day. So I started praying every day. God, fill me with the fruit of your Spirit. Fill me with love, joy, peace, patience, all those things for Mark and for everybody else. I prayed that for over a year. God had me doing that. There were so many times I wanted to go, God, please, can I just jump on Indeed or LinkedIn? There's got to be something. This is horrible. God's like, no, stick in. And, you know, I'd like to say that through this, that Mark miraculously turned one day. This would be such a great story. And that we hugged every morning. We went to lunch at Chick-fil-A. We sort of skipped off to Chick-fil-A to lunch. We had so much fun. We ate cookie dough together. You know, all those things. No, this didn't happen. God had me do this for 1 year. And I was so tempted so often to pick it back up. But what was happening was God was changing me during that time. He was changing me. I was a different person when I went to work every day with love, joy, peace, patience on my mind that this is what I want to bring. That's a different way to enter my workplace than where I was before going, oh my gosh, I hate this place. I don't want to be here. I had to pick it up, give God my feelings, give Him my desires, lay it down. I'm curious about you this morning. Is there anything that you're carrying around? Any feelings that you're carrying around that you haven't given to God? You go, man, I just need to shoot straight up with you, God. I'm so worried. I'm so scared. I'm so overjoyed. I'm so hopeful. Here's what I want, but not what do I want. What do you want? I want us to close up this prayer series by doing that together. Just spend some time talking with God. Maybe there are some things going on in your life that you go, man, I just need to give that to God, just raw and uncut. Here's how I feel about it. Here's what I want. But God, not my will, but your will be done. I want to invite you to do that while Liz and Andrew are going to sing a song here in a second that's going to remind us, and I'm hoping it gets stuck in your head. It'll be there all week. You'll be remembering it. Or maybe, you know, some of you may be at a place this morning where you've never laid your life down the first time to start this relationship with God. You've never laid your life down and said, I need Jesus to be my forgiver of my sins. I need one to get me to God. I need a forgiver. And I need a leader for my life, my past not getting it done. You can ask Him during this time. Just tell Him straight up, here's where I'm at. But I want you to be my forgiver and my leader. Let's do that together as we close up with this song. And I'll come back and pray for us. Just spend some time talking to God. Give it to Him.
Bring your worry, grief, and pain, every cause you have for shame, lay it all. Lay it all down. When your cares bury you, and there's nothing left to do, lay it all down. Lay it all down at the feet of Jesus. At the feet of Jesus.
carried on, but your heart was tired. Feared the worst and felt the fire.
Lay it all down.
Filled with all those anxious thoughts, and your doubts became your God.
Lay it all down at the feet of Jesus. At the feet of Jesus.
People are given their feelings, their desires, their trust to you ultimately. God, they're laying it down at your feet, trusting you to take it. God, there's people in this room that have for the first time said, I want to lay my life down for you. Never done this before, but they feel the urging to do that, God. Thanks for moving so powerfully in our hearts and our minds. God, remind us of this all day, every day, all week, as we go through the week, that we can have this kind of connection with you. We can be honest. We can bring it all, just like Jesus did. We can find grace and mercy every time we need it. God, thank you for being a God like that. Thank you for being a Father like that. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
If today you prayed to put your faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, today is a really special day. And we love to celebrate with you by giving you one of these relevant Bibles. All you have to do is text the word Jesus to 55444, and we'll get one of these Bibles to you in the mail, along with some information to help you take your best next step in following Jesus. Also, we believe that life happens best in community. If you live in Elkhorn or the Omaha area and you're not part of a church, we'd love to have you join us for one of our Sunday gatherings. You can find out more about Relevant and what to expect by visiting our website at relevantcommunity.org. Thanks again for spending part of your day with us, and we hope to connect with you soon.